This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Alon Berman, Vice President for Policy at the American Foreign Policy Council, and he's also the author of the new book, Winning the Long War, Retaking the Offensive Against Radical Islam. And we want to get his thoughts on a number of issues related to Iran today, including the detention of three American hikers who crossed the border, they say unintentionally. Also, Iran saying that it's ready to produce nuclear warheads, it just needs the green light from the Ayatollah. And, of course, the official start of the second term of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. And, Alon, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, great to be back.
Let's start with the hikers. We see in another part of the world today, President Clinton trying to negotiate the release of the American reporters in North Korea. In Iran, now these people have been taken into custody. Is there reason to believe there's a serious breach of borders here, or is this a political statement by Iran?
I think it's probably a little bit of both. Iran has been notorious in interpreting broadly its borders. If you remember, about 2 years ago, they did the same thing with a much more high-profile target, a group of 15 British sailors.
Correct.
That they argued had strayed into Iranian waters. It turned out that it was not at all clear that that was the case, but they used these sailors as a foil to make a political statement that Iran will protect its borders very assertively, and that Iran is not cowed by international pressure. And I think the same thing is happening here. They're using these hikers who obviously were a little bit less careful than they should have been, but they're going to be using them the same way very much as North Korea is using the journalists that it's holding at the moment, which is essentially as political pawns.
So what do they need? What do they want before they let them go?
Well, I think this is a question of creating leverage. The Iranians understand that they're at a critical moment of their nuclear development. They're very far along the process, and the Obama administration is in the midst of realizing that the engagement strategy that the president has laid out during the campaign trail and is now putting into practice is probably not going to yield the results that they would like. Iran is very committed to its nuclear program, and therefore the United States is I think about to begin a somewhat of a rethink in terms of what our policy should be. When we do that, the degree to which Iran has cards up its sleeve, Iran has leverage, Iran has hostages, if you could call them that, will allow the Iranians to, in a much more, I think, invasive degree, allow them to shape how we respond.
We're talking with Alon Berman of the American Foreign Policy Council. And Alon, let's move now to the issue of the nuclear program, which you mentioned, it's in a critical phase or critical stage right now. There are reports saying that the engineers, the scientists say they're ready to go on a nuclear warhead. They just need the green light. Do you expect that to come soon? And do you believe that they are ready?
Well, I think, this is really the $64,000 question. The question is not whether or not there's a green light, because by all indications, if you talk to nuclear scientists, the actual fabrication of a nuclear warhead is not the most time-consuming process. It's the creation of the raw material that you need in order to then weaponize. And as the current reports have it, Iran is very far along that latter process. Iran has the fissile material it needs to make a weapon. It simply needs to make a strategic decision to actually manufacture one. And for all intents and purposes, Iran doesn't have to do that right away, because everybody in the region, everybody in the international community has taken note of the fact that Iran is essentially a nuclear weapon state. Iran is one step away from having an offensive nuclear capability, and it's beginning to react in that fashion. Iran is going to be, in the coming weeks and months, is going to be treated very much as if it already has a nuclear weapon. So that strategic decision, it may come and it may not come. I suspect we're probably not going to know about it if it does come down. But it's almost immaterial in the sense that the perception in the international community is that Iran is a nuclear weapon state, or it soon will be.
Ilan, after all this time, after all this investigation, is there really any credible doubt that the Iranian nuclear program is for military purposes?
Well, there's certainly been some debate, but I think even the skeptics have been gravitating very steadily towards the fact that, the evidence is overwhelming. It's circumstantial. We don't have a smoking gun. We don't have a piece of paper from the Supreme Leader that's signed and dated that says that, yes, we are pursuing a nuclear capability. But the types of technologies that Iran is investing in, the types of oversight that it has over its nuclear program, a lot of its facilities are overseen by the military, give every indication that this is the military program. And it also makes a lot of sense strategically for Iran to pursue this capability because they've taken, I think, very much to heart the North Korean example of carrying out a nuclear breakout, as the North Koreans did in October of 2002, and essentially, in that sense, preempting the possibility of preemption on the part of the United States. So I think all of the, both the strategic logic and the circumstantial evidence point to the fact that this is indeed a weapons program. It's simply not one that we know enough about.
Ilan, just last week, the former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, wrote in the Wall Street Journal and then made a series of interviews, including with us, who said that Israel's basically looking at this ticking clock in Iran, a clock that is ticking closer to zero, and that they will probably, if they're going to use the military option, do it before the end of the year. Does that smack right to you?
Well, there's certainly, I saw that that article by Ambassador Bolton, and he I think is right to bring up the issue. For Israel, this is not an academic issue. This is an existential threat to Israeli security, and they have to be seized of this. As to the exact timeline, obviously, there's a lot of speculation about whether it is until the end of the year, whether it's the beginning of next year. But yes, the general point is that it's very close. Israel is very close to a decision. One of the most important things to understand is when the Israelis think about the Iranian nuclear program and the potential for military action against it, they're not talking about denuclearization. They're not talking about getting rid of the Iranian nuclear program. They're talking about delay. How do they look at the Iranian nuclear program, what can be dismantled, what can be disassembled in such a way as to delay this program. And that means that, you know, we unfortunately have taken the Israeli military option or the potential for Israel to have a military option as an excuse not to do some heavy lifting of our own, that the Israelis will take care of this. But if what Israel is talking about is delay and not denuclearization, it means that we need to have a strategy to deal with Iran on our own as well.
Ilan, you mentioned a little earlier in our conversation that there may be some rethinking going on in the Obama administration over the proper approach to Iran. You just kind of addressed it again, that we're kind of letting Israel do the heavy lifting, certainly in terms of any sort of military option. What do you think might be a smarter strategy from the Obama administration?
Well, I think the Obama administration is beginning to find that engaging Iran the way they talked about on the campaign trail and the way they've talked about over the last 6 months is actually much harder to do in practice than it is rhetorically, because the Iranians have a great deal to gain from seeing this nuclear program come to fruition. They see it as a way for them to achieve regional dominance. They see it as a way for them to preempt preemption from the outside community. And they see it as a way to preserve the integrity of what is essentially an aging ideological regime. Iran is a country of 70 million people, and half of the population are 24 or younger. And the Ayatollahs are getting long in the tooth, and they're worried about legacy issues. They're worried about preserving ideological cohesion. So for all of these reasons, the nuclear program is very important to the Iranian regime. And simply talking to them, we have to be careful that while engagement sounds good, we simply don't have the requisite leverage. So I think what's going to happen over the next several months is going to be that the Obama administration is going to begin to think a little bit more deeply about how you engage. Because it's not a question of whether or not you talk to the Iranians. It's how much leverage you have over them when you do. Unfortunately, over the last 6 to 8 months, we've systematically removed all leverage that we had over Iran. We have taken the military option effectively off the table. We have told the Russians in no uncertain terms that we're not all that committed to missile defense, including missile defenses against Iranian missiles. And so we've systematically removed the options that would create leverage for us in our talks with the Iranians. So what you're going to see over the next several weeks, I suspect, is going to be the Obama administration trying to bring that leverage back, trying to figure out how it can turn the screws on Iran to really get them to get to yes at the negotiating table.
Ilan, unfortunately, that has to be the last word. Thank you, sir, very much, as always, for your time.
My pleasure.
Ilan Berman is Vice President for Policy at the American Foreign Policy Council. His book is Winning the Long War, Retaking the Offensive Against Radical Islam. This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.